Good evening. Welcome to City of Angels, Family, and Recovery. And tonight's show is about expectations and disappointments.
What? That was just terrible. We're not going to use that. So let's
start. Is it Families in Recovery?
It's Families in Recovery.
Good evening. Welcome to City of Angels, Families, and Recovery. My name is Bill. This is my lovely wife, Kathy.
Hi, how you doing?
And we're here tonight to talk about expectations and disappointments. If you want to never mind, start over. I thought you were going to interrupt me there. Start over.
Apparently you did expect interrupt.
I did expect you were going to interrupt me there. Now I'm disappointed you didn't interrupt me there. Why didn't you interrupt me there? I thought you were going to interrupt me there. I expected you to interrupt me there. Oh, my goodness. That's our show. Expectations. I had expected her to interrupt me there. She didn't interrupt me there. What can I say?
I think you should start the whole thing over.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to City of Angels, Families and Recovery. My name is Bill, and I'm here with my lovely wife, Kathy.
Hello, how you doing?
And our show tonight is Expectations and Disappointments.
Yeah, but I really thought I was going to do the opening part.
Well, I don't know. Why did you let me know?
I expected that I was going to do the opening and you were going to do the other part.
What? I don't think we discussed it.
We did. I'm really disappointed.
Oh, well, that's exactly what tonight's show is about, expectations and disappointments. If you want to get a hold of Kathy and I, you can email us at Kathy with a C and Bill at cityofangelsnj.org. Mail us in your questions, your stories. Let us know what's going on. Get us started with something here. We'd love to dialogue with you. If you need any assistance, you can call City of Angels at 609-910-4942. Check out City of Angels on Facebook. Please check us a like on our program. Check out City of Angels overall on Facebook, as well as their website, City of Angels. They got lots of programs, lots of schedules. Check it out. I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, and one thing that they're changing a little bit is that we're not going to be on any specific night now. As soon as you see our new show advertised on City of Angels webpage or on our page or whatever, then
Facebook, right?
Yeah, that's when you would just go out and you can listen to our show at that minute. It'll be on demand right then and there. So
that way it's
just available anytime. COARadio.com.
It's real good stuff going on at City of Angels. Keep them in your prayers. Keep them in support financially, any way you can. So tonight's program, how we're going to proceed here, is Kathy's going to read us our opening charge. We're then going to go into expectations and talk a little bit about expectations. We'll have our spiritual section in the middle, and we'll finish up with disappointments and how we can balance this whole thing between expectations and disappointments. So, Kath, with that, why don't you read us our opening charge?
Okay, so I'm taking the charge out of the Naranon Sheesh book. It's the book we read when we go to Naranon. So, and it's on page 119, and it's called No Expectations. One of the hardest things for me to grasp in Naranon was the idea of having no expectations for the addict in my life. Having always had high expectations of everyone involved in my life, especially myself, it seemed foreign to me to let go of those expectations. By attending Naranon meetings on a regular basis, I can honestly say that I am now able to lower my expectations. Our Naranon Blue Book suggests that I take no thought for the future actions of others, neither expecting them to be better or worse as time goes on, for in such expectations we are really trying to create. This is God's job, not ours. Love alone can create. Love and let be. Expecting the addict not to behave like an addict is denial of reality. I have found I am much happier when I lower or surrender my expectations of the addict, others, and myself. Before Naranon, I could go into the fantasy land of creation, planning for events or happenings before they even came up. In my mind, everything would be so perfect. I would invariably be disappointed. I know it was because of my having such high expectations each time. thought for today. When I lower my expectations or let go of them altogether, I find myself enjoying and appreciating my life and the addict in my life so much more. An expectation is a premeditated resentment.
We're going to break that all down tonight as we go through expectations and disappointments. So you're going to see that whole thing defined and broken down as we go forward. Sylvia Plath said this: if you expect nothing from somebody, you will never be disappointed. And Bill Watterson said, I find my life is a lot easier the lower I set my expectations. And we got so many stories, Kathy and I know you probably do too, about expectations and disappointments. But here's a definition of expectations. An expectation is a belief that something will happen or is likely to happen and the way you think it should happen. A feeling or belief about how successful, good, or someone or something will be. And so you have eager anticipation. Expectation is a thought or a belief that is about our expected outcome, not necessarily about what might really happen. Okay? And that sets us up.
It reminds me of, you know, a lot of times you're in your work mode and you think everything's just going to go in a little perfect line. And I always say, honey, you know, there might be some unexpected things that'll come up in there.
That's right. Absolutely. Who's ever taken on a project that, you know, goes completely smooth? You know, it's like, open up some wall and there's all kinds of rot in there and all kinds of problems. And you thought it was going to go a certain way. And yeah, all kinds of crazy stuff. Here, look, we have beliefs. Okay. You and I have beliefs about ourselves that we then turn into expectations and about a desired outcome, because they reinforce our belief about ourselves.
Wow.
See, so I believe that I should be able to do this.
Yeah, I
believe I should be able to accomplish that.
So then it's an expectation.
So now it becomes expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that a little later about, you know, unrealistic and so on.
Mm-hmm.
When we are surprised then by the outcome, we are disappointed or even frustrated because those expectations undermine our beliefs about ourselves.
Oh, I got you.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I think I should be able to do this or this. I think I should be able to change the attic.
Oh, yeah.
I think I should be able to control my children. I think I should be able to do this, at work, whatever it is.
Yeah.
These are beliefs about myself.
Right.
That I should be able to do them.
So you have to reevaluate your beliefs or see when your beliefs are being...
Unrealistic. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, we're going to get into that about limitations, knowing our limitations,
mm-hmm.
unrealistic limitations. Oh, yeah, all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah. Okay, Bill, let's go into some common expectations and we'll talk about them. So which of these common expectations do you have? So I expect fair treatment at work. Is that a realistic one? I expect the addict in my life to listen to me. Oh, that one might be a challenge, huh? I expect help from my family and friends. I expect to enjoy being with my friends. How about I expect to be loved? You know, are we expecting to be loved by everybody? Because that might not always happen. Oh, here's a good one. I expect I can stop my love from using drugs or drinking. What's that going to do to set us up? What about I expect people to be honest? I expect people to like me. That's, you know, not everybody will like us. I expect there is something I can do to change others. There's another one that we might want to question. How about I expect my spouse to be faithful? Or we expect our children to listen. What do you think about some of those, Bill?
Well, I think that, you know, everyone, we could answer these and say, yeah, I would expect that.
Mm-hmm.
But whether or not it's realistic or not
That's
is really what
good.
Matters.
Yeah.
I mean, when we take a marriage vow, we take a marriage vow to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
So then I do expect my spouse to remain faithful.
Right.
If sometime during our marriage that spouse starts to exhibit certain behaviors that would then, maybe throw in question that fidelity,
mm-hmm.
then I may have to adjust my expectations and say, you know, spouse has been showing this sign, this, cause, you know, people end up having an affair and then, you know, we watch like Dr. Phil mm-hmm. and he goes, well, didn't your spouse do this 3 years ago? Yeah. Well, isn't that a flag that they were probably not faithful. And didn't they do this? And so you had all these warning signs.
Oh, I see.
But you had an expectation to remain faithful, which is appropriate expectation, unless otherwise certain things come up.
So again, that's where, you know, expectations kind of have to be questioned a bit.
Well, I think you need to be aware of what is going on.
Yeah.
Just don't assume everything. Now, I do assume you're faithful to me.
Yes.
I make that conclusion based on our relationship. Our relationship's intimate. It's mutual. It's flourishing. I see no reason to question our fidelity.
Correct.
You see what I'm saying?
Correct.
Now, if all of a sudden some shady occurrences start to occur, well, then my expectation would have to be, you know, maybe re-looked at and said, well, wait a minute, I better be prepared.
Yeah.
You see? And some of us have that in our relationships. We don't know where our spouses go after work and spend hours out at night or go out and never come home to the next morning. Okay, I hope you don't have expectations that person's being faithful. If they're going out partying till 4 a.m. every night, then maybe that expectation now gets called into question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or unrealistic expectations of thinking that we can control the addict or that they're going to listen to us because we say stop.
I know.
You know?
And we have them. You're going to see that we have expectations in everything.
Yeah. So, Bill, I was going to talk about what's the difference between hope and expectations because, you know, we always have hopes too. So, let's see. When we expect something, we're referring to a belief that a particular event or action will occur. With expectations, we anticipate that it will occur. However, with hope, we acknowledge that there is little likelihood of it occurring. You know, I hope to win the lottery. We'd like it to happen, but we don't expect it to. So a lot of times we turn hopes into expectations, and we're not really sure where we've crossed that line.
And maybe that's where we're misusing things, because with our addict, we would hope they would make smart choices and go to rehab. We hope. But let's not be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could tell you right now, right, that the probability of an addict getting clean or getting into rehab is very low. So, you know, if I sit here and expect
them. I mean, that is a big hope.
It's a hope. I have a hope they would get in.
Yes.
But I don't sit there and set myself up with expecting them.
Yeah.
To do the things I think they should do in a way they should do
it.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about that, about how to do that. Matter of fact, I'll talk about that right now. Like, so how do we modulate our expectations? That means take them from wherever we're taking and adjust them. Modulate them, adjust them down or up or whatever way we have to do it. So what we have to do is ask ourselves, what is a reasonable expectation? You see, and to have a reasonable, then we have to have a measurable.
Mm.
So what's the criteria that I'm going to base my expectations on? Your addict comes in your house and they've stolen from you 3 times. Do you expect them to come in your house and never steal again?
It's not realistic.
It's not realistic.
No.
And the criteria, the measurables, tell you that it's probably going to happen again.
Correct.
So why do you get so aggravated? Why do you get so mad? Why are you getting so frustrated? Because your expectations are improper and out of balance.
Correct. Then that's on you.
That is on you, not the addict. The addict is the addict.
Yeah.
They are who they are.
Yeah.
The way you're relating to the addict with your expectations for them is setting yourself up.
Or also denial. Oh, he did that before, but he's not going to do it again.
You know, Kath, you always say to me, often she says to me, Bill, moderate your expectations.
Lower your expectations.
Because I have high expectations. A lot of us do have high expectations. I expect my 20-year-old addict child to have a job and be able to hold it. Yeah, Bill, you may want to lower your expectations, you see?
Mm-hmm.
We go to meetings or family functions, and certain family members rub us the wrong way. My wife will say, lower your expectations. Don't go there expecting them not to say some stupid comment that's going to get you upset.
Well, yeah, I always talk about the fact that, you know, my one friend's sister always does certain things. And when we talk, you know, we're often saying, I can't believe she did that. Well, in reality, why can't you believe she did that? Because she did it 100 times before that.
Yeah.
So it's like, Why do we keep expecting people to change when there's no evidence that they are changing?
Right. So to start with here, you're going to start reevaluating your expectations before you do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So right now you're going to start playing with what expectations do I have for my marriage? What expectations do I have for my children, whether they're addicts or not? What expectations do I have for my addict? And what are realistic or not? What's the criteria? For example, look, can I expect to be able to run a marathon without training for it?
That would be silly.
Yeah, that would be silly. It ain't happening. People train to run a marathon. You know, is it reasonable to expect to be accepted into Harvard University with an SAT score of 1,000 and GPA 3.0?
I don't think so.
It ain't happening. But some people actually do. Mm-hmm. And they actually get disappointed for some reason in their magical minds. They think it's going to be magic that they picture themselves going to Harvard. They picture themselves running the marathon, and it doesn't happen. And they're all disappointed. It's like, but why did you think you were? You never trained, or your GPA score is 3.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you? It's almost like magical thinking.
Yeah.
You know, it's not realistic. Your criteria is off. So you have to look at your criteria for your expectations. And what happens then? More often than not, we feel disappointed. We tend to have these high expectations, and it's not warranted because the data that we have on hand really would show otherwise. So if you sat down with like a lawyer or somebody or an engineer or a data statistician would look at the data and say, yeah, you're not getting there from here
right. With
the data. But we do it to ourselves.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I think that, you know, what this is really bringing up for me is the fact that, you know, when we have expectations and we're disappointed, it's really not about the other person.
It's about ourselves. Yeah. About the addict. But I care for my addict so much. I want my addict to be clean and be happy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all true feelings, and you're allowed to have those feelings. But don't create a magical world where you expect your addict to just go clean and to get their life all in order. Here's an example. This is just about a teenage girl wants the high school football star to ask her to the prom. She hardly knows the boy, but harbors a fantasy of being with him. She builds this fantasy into an expectation based on the fact that one time he might have said good morning to her. They might have smiled in the hall passing each other. And based on that, she now has expectations. She's created fantasy. I want this kid in my life. I want to, you know this kid. And so she dreams about him. She thinks about him. She's obsessing about him. She has little data to support her expectation. And yet, when he asks someone else to the prom, the young girl says she's devastated. Devastated. You know, these kids, they use these big words. Devastated. My life's over. It's like, why? Did you used to hang around with him? No. So did you like eat lunch with him one time?
No.
So why would he ask you? Well, I don't know.
He said hi one time.
You see? And we do the same thing. We begin creating these fantasy worlds, you know, on these unrealistic expectations that we have.
Yeah, so one of the most common reasons we experience disappointment in recovery is that we do have these unrealistic expectations. For the addict, from that their perspective, sometimes think that they've escaped alcohol or drug abuse, you know, all of a sudden their life's going to be perfect. I mean, they're not realizing that recovery is a process and not an event. So they have to take it one day at a time. And we have to become more aware of our expectations and learn how to hold them in check. So I think that, you know, after listening to this show, maybe you can, you know, think a little bit each day. It's like, well, what are my expectations about things today? And we also have to manage our own expectations and be aware of others' expectations of us also.
Yeah, because what I'm thinking of when you talked about the addict, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, they used to use the alcohol to cover self-medicate.
Right,
okay.
Self-medicate.
So now they get into recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And now life is tough.
Yeah.
Because I'm not self-medicating. So when emotions go high, when problems come my way, I used to self-medicate.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm trying not to. So I have expectations, if they're unrealistic, as an addict, that everything was going to go smooth.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble.
Right.
And if you, as the parent or spouse of an addict, because they said they're going to quit, think it's going to be smooth, that's crazy. I was talking to an addict recently. And I said, and very hard on myself, yeah, you know, I've been sober, you know, this many times, it feels like 100 times, and broke that sobriety. And I said, you know what's interesting? I used to teach stop smoking classes. And I used to go to St. Francis Hospital here in Trenton. I used to put a class on and help people stop smoking. We'd have classes of 20, 30 people. What I used to tell them is the statistics nationally was it took 6 times average trying to quit smoking cigarettes to be successful.
That's
quitting.
Very important.
6 times. That's the average. Mm-hmm. So that means some did it in 3, some did it in 9 and 10.
Yes.
And I said to the addict, I said, do you think it's harder to give up hard drugs like heroin and stuff, or easier than giving them up than cigarette smoking? Well, harder. I said, okay. Then your expectation to think that life's going to go easy because you want to quit is unrealistic.
It is.
You actually may take a half a dozen times. You may actually quit and get and fall off the bandwagon, quit and fall off the back. You may go back and forth.
And I truly feel that that is part of their process.
That is part of their process. So, you know? And then what are we doing to our addict? Because we get all pissed because they fell off the bandwagon.
Correct.
Instead of embracing them and encouraging them and loving them, say, I understand, sweetheart. Let's go back into the rehab center.
Yeah.
I'm here with you.
And
let's
I mean, it's the same. It's
instead
the same
of yelling, screaming, which heightens their anxiety and stress, which wants them to use and self-medicate.
Correct. I mean, it's the same with us. How often do we, you know, not do what we wanted to follow through with?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, high expectations really become like the core of the perfectionist. You ever know a perfectionist person? They can't get out of their own way sometimes. Because why? Their expectations of themselves are so unrealistically high. You see, and then what ends up happening is they take their expectations and they hold them on to others.
Mm-hmm.
You ever hang around a perfectionist? They're always critical of you, or they're always evaluating
you.
You always feel like, boy, I'm not even sure I like to hang around my friend who's the perfectionist, because they're always judging how clean my house is or not. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or how I say sentences incorrectly, or how I, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like they have such high expectations. And then what happens with some perfectionists, they have these so high expectations and that they're afraid things are going to go wrong, or they do go wrong and they result in feelings of anxiety. They obsess about it. They feel terrible about who themselves are. And so then if you're a person who has these high expectations of yourself, it creates this cycle of high expectations, failure, low self-esteem. High expectations, failure, low self-esteem.
That makes sense.
It increases anxiety. If you're an addict, can you imagine if you're an addict, you have high expectations, or those around you who are healthy having these unrealistic high expectations on you, and then you fail, creates this cycle of high expectations, failure, low self-esteem.
Yep.
Do you see what's happening with expectations with you applied to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You applied to others, such as the addict in your life. You're creating this cycle
a
negative cycle.
It is a negative.
So we have to learn how to manage our expectations. As you can hear from these examples, then, it's very, very important that we learn how to manage them. Because less disappointment that we have, the happier we are.
That's nice.
See? Mm-hmm. So the disappointment's going to be connected with our expectations. We're going to talk about disappointments in the second half. But less disappointments, then I'm happier. So it has something to do with my expectations. So expectations create demands.
Oh, that's
you
for
see?
Sure. Yeah.
So again, I expect the addict to react this way. Well, that's a demand.
Right.
Because I'm sitting here like putting something on you.
Right.
That, mommy expects me.
Mm-hmm.
I expect them to get a job. Okay, is that realistic that the heroin addict's going to get a job? Not really, because stats and statistics tell us that the heroin addict's not going to be able to hold a job. So you turn around and say, but it's a realistic expectation, you should have a job. No, a healthy child with a strong brain will be able to hold a job.
Right, or like how you used to call me up on the phone and tell me to vacuum and cook dinner and put on dress and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I had expectations and they weren't met. That was a joke I used to have years ago with my wife. I'd be talking to her on the phone at work and I'd say, yeah, in front of everybody in the office. Yeah, when I get home, I expect to see food on the table. You better be, the house better be clean. You better be wearing a dress.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it was always a joke, but the point is, if you think about it, we're talking expectations, you see. Mm-hmm. And expectations, as we say, disappoint. Matter of fact, I was going through the comic strip yesterday, and I found two cartoons that were about disappointment. Listen to this one. This one is, let's see, it's the kid, Zitz. It's about this kid and his father. Dad, the van won't start. Can I borrow your wheels? Sure, his father says. And the kid says, really? I can? Sure, it's in the garage. And then the next frame in the picture shows this kid. When am I going to learn to read the fine print? He's sitting on a bicycle. So his father, but see, he had expectations. So he's all disappointed in a frame. You know, he's got a frown on his face. Why? Because he had expectations that his pop would let him use his car. And his father did a little switch here on him.
Yeah.
And said, sure, you can use my wheels. They're in the garage. Well, here's another one. It's Pickles. Pickles is the two old men that normally sit on a bench. And the one old man says this. You know what I'd like to do? Take a walk across America. A journey of discovery as I trek along the highways, the byways, taking stock of the nation, its people, myself. Well, either that or learn to play the ukulele. So what did he do? He had a desire, expectation that he could do this big thing. And what did he have to do? He had to adjust it, modulate his expectations at his age. He's not going to walk across America. So next time you read the comments, see if you can find a comic that's really about expectations and disappointment. I found two of them right there.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. So again, expectations then create these demands on others and on ourselves because we expect ourselves to perform a certain way. And what it does is it demands, requests, or orders other people. This causes stress in our relationships. What ends up happening is that we end up facing more disappointment. We're more unhappy, and we actually become unmotivated, right? I'm not going to want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sitting here thinking my wife has all these expectations. I get overwhelmed. I shut down.
Right.
And I'm not going to do. We become stressed out. The solution is becoming aware of and modifying your expectations. So we have to do that. Now let me show you about expectations and beliefs, okay? And that our beliefs flow from our needs. Watch. If I am lonely and I call up a friend, I have an expectation that he will relieve my loneliness. If at the last minute he cancels, I will be disappointed because he isn't going to fix my problem. Loneliness, that's my need. Notice that it is not his problem. He's probably fine with the situation. If I understand that I have made a request to my friend, and if I allow him to make his own choice, I can be okay with whatever happens.
That's good.
I will have to find another way then to solve my problem. But what we end up doing is we get all upset that that person wasn't able to come through.
Correct.
Because I had expectations they would come over, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And to unrealistic explanations. So again, if I would have said, I hope he's able to come over, that, remember what that says? That says there's, the hope means there's a chance it may not come true.
Right.
Expectation is a definitive, I believe it's to happen.
Yeah.
You see? Mm-hmm. So again, this person, so, because you could say, well, I would expect that if I called my friend, they'd come to my aid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why would you expect that? Well, because I think my friend really cares that much for me. They may care for you that much, but what happens if something else comes up? What happens if they have a problem? What if they do choose something else over you?
Mm-hmm.
Then you become disappointed.
Right.
I would hope my friend could come over, but I understand that if evaluating five or six things in his life, including me calling at this last minute to come over and help me with my loneliness, that it may not come through and make another choice. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I can be okay with whatever happens then. I will have to find another way to solve my problem. It would be worse if I'm explicit with my expectations of him because that creates a demand on him. It causes pressure on a relationship, and if he still bails, then the disappointment is greater knowing I made a demand that was rebuffed. Sometimes disappointment can really hurt when it touches the ego and we take it personally.
Yeah.
See, because now I take it personal.
Yep.
That person didn't come over. But I have to understand that if I call Chuck tonight, my friend, and I reach out to Chuck a lot. What are you doing tonight? Because, see, I want to get together and go play. What are you doing tonight, Chuck? Go see a movie? And listen, he says, no, I'm working around a house. Or no, spending time with my daughter, or no, my wife. You see, so he has many options. Mm-hmm. If I expected him with a high expectation, then I'm going to feel great disappointment to the point where I could get angry, mad, frustrated, you see?
Yeah.
And almost like depressed or stressed. And I just blow up for the night. Or I understand in my relationship with Chuck, it's a give and take. He may be able to, he may not. I am not always his highest priority. He has other priorities. And whether or not exactly. I question some of that priorities, he says, no, I'd just rather sit around and read a book. Okay, well, I thought I was more important than a book. Well, who told you were more important than a book? That's where he's at tonight. That's what he's doing tonight. So again, I would hope that Chuck could come out tonight to play, but I don't necessarily expect, therefore demand, require that he would come out tonight. Right. Yeah, and that balances things. That's so let's go over then some, how do we manage or these modulate these expectations, okay? So first of all, you need to become aware of the expectations that you're creating. So just like I said, go through the news. This is like classroom. Go through the newspaper, look at the comics, and find the ones that have to deal with expectations
right.
and disappointments. You'll find them in the newspaper. That's mm-hmm. training you to recognize them. Now become aware of the expectations you are creating.
Yes.
Compared to relationship to hope. And see what you're doing at your house, with your children, with your meals, with your work, with your spouse, with your attic. You see?
Yep.
All right. So understand and become aware of what your expectations. And I'll tell you what happens. If you're mad, frustrated, angry, or possibly even depressed, that means you may have unrealistic expectations.
Absolutely.
So if right now you're feeling any of those four emotions, mm-hmm. you may want to turn around and check your expectations and see if expectations have anything to do with that. Mm-hmm. Okay? Understand the beliefs behind your expectations. So what am I believing? Oh, so somehow I go all the way down to the back that I believe that Chuck should come to my beck and whim. Oh, well, I guess that's unrealistic. What are your needs in this situation? Okay, so my needs were loneliness. So Chuck's not able to make that. How do I meet those expectations in a different way? My needs, I mean, in a different way. Are there other ways to get them met? See what you're doing? Being aware of them. Understand what's behind the beliefs that's creating your expectations. What is the need that you're trying to get met that you're using these expectations on? And is there another way to do it? Is your expectation a reasonable one for a likely outcome? Again, unrealistic. We talked about that already. When your expectation turns out to be incorrect, notice and adjust accordingly.
That's good.
So, right? If you do, mm-hmm. if you go out to a party and you're hosting a party and you expect it goes a certain way mm-hmm. and it doesn't, then you may have to reevaluate and say, oh yeah. You know, I set myself up because I thought that party that everybody was just going to sit around in the living room and talk and share and be okay. But I didn't realize people are individuals. Two of them went off and sat out on a front porch and talked.
Right,
a couple went
right.
out back. You see?
Yep.
So I had unrealistic expectations how that party should have went.
Yeah.
And so I need to reevaluate if something went wrong with my expectations, turn out to be incorrect. I need to adjust them.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you get good enough, you can adjust them on the fly. Meaning the party's actually going on and you're starting to feel like a little angry, frustrated, resentment. You may say, why am I feeling this? Because I wanted everybody sitting in the same
Correct.
Room and they're not.
Correct.
Now, you could try to force your will upon everybody. Or you could make a simple request. Hey, everybody, can we sit in the living room right now and just check in with each other? And people could say yes or no, but you can't force that on them.
Right.
I
asked
for my needs to get met. They may be able to do it or not.
Yeah.
And they move on. When you are disappointed, don't take it personally.
Right. They didn't do that because of you.
Yeah, because
yeah.
they want to sit on the front porch and check in.
Yeah.
See? So Marie and Sam went on the front porch to check in with one another because that's their life. That's who they are as individuals. It's not personally about you.
Correct.
And stop making it personally about you. Individuals have their own lives, their own thought processes, their own emotions, their own feelings that go into all their decision making. Stay flexible. What other options do you have for those expectations? How can I get those needs met in a different way? And can I learn to be okay with what it is?
That's really important.
Yeah. In work, my boss and I, for years, I'd always say, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is, boss. And eventually she got me a t-shirt that actually says it is what it is. This is my boss at work. Because I used to throw that at her all the time. So anyway, so you know, Kath, I'm thinking about, you know, how to make these adjustments to expectations, and I thought they came out very good. Let's do the spiritual section here. And when I think of the spiritual section, I think about the Bible is full of expectations and disappointments. If you read the Bible, there's a story of Joseph. Joseph went to bring food out to his brothers in the field, and he expected to be warmly welcomed by his brothers. Instead, they beat him up and threw him into a pit and sold him into slavery. Think about his disappointment. I mean, that's crazy. And I don't know if you know the Bible that much or not, but there was Mary who and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, and Lazarus had died. And they were expecting Christ to come to heal him. Mary was very disappointed and let Jesus know how disappointed. She says, if you were here, he would have never had died. So she had expected Christ to be there. Lazarus died, and she shared those feelings of disappointment with Christ. What I think of is King David. If you were in King David's household, King David was a shepherd boy and very humble beginnings, and he rose up and grew up to be a great man for God, became king. But if you lived in David's house, as he grew to be a king, he also made some major mistakes, just like we do and our children do and our addicts in our lives do. David ended up having an affair with a woman next door to his house. And then, to cover that affair up, he had her husband murdered. That's in the Bible. Talk about disappointments. Can you imagine if you lived in David's house, King David's house, your disappointment? I would have expected the king to act differently. The disappointments when he didn't fill that would be crazy. So, disappointments are all throughout the Bible. Here's another verse. It says, and the people were in expectation. And the people were in expectation of what? Whether or not John the Baptist was the Christ. And so those who had those expectations were and wanted those expectations filled were disappointed when John the Baptist was not the Christ. And then it even says here, and that was Luke 3:15. And then in Acts 12:11, it says, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know for sure that the Lord has sent an angel here and delivered me out of the hands of Herod. And from all the expectations of the people, the Jews. So again, those people had expected Peter to be put to death, and God delivered him from their expectations, which means they were disappointed that Peter wasn't killed. So again, expectations is really throughout the Bible. And one thing I think about is this. With expectations. So everybody has expectations. Bible had expectations and disappointments from those expectations. We have them all the time in our life. And here's a thought. God cares for everything, right? So God created everything. God cares for everything. Sin has made life very difficult, and God will someday restore it to perfection. But for now, God still cares for everything, even in this sinful world. And when we go through our daily trials, our daily toil, work, when we lie down at night or rise up in the morning, when we go to parties or gather with our children, whether or not we're struggling to make it financially, each of us is really watched tenderly by a loving Heavenly Father. Nobody here on this earth sheds a tear that God does not hear and that He does not notice. He cares. He may allow things to take place, but He cares. And you know what? If we would fully believe that God does care, then all of our anxieties would be diminished or if not dismissed, because we believe God is caring and that He is doing all that He can do in our lives. And then our lives wouldn't be filled with as much disappointment as now. Because we would learn to leave it in the hands of God. Isn't that the whole 12 steps? You know, so God is not really perplexed by all of these issues in our lives. He understands what needs to be done, and He's not overwhelmed by everything in our addict's life and that we see going on in our lives. We would enjoy more rest of our soul if we would limit our expectations, what we think should be happening in the addict's life, in our life, try to stop controlling everything in our lives, in our addict's lives. We would have a lot more rest and peacefulness in our lives. Jesus gave a story one time about what was called the tares and about sowing the truth of the kingdom of heaven. And he says there is a devil there and who sows bad seeds. And, you know, he was telling about this parable, the good seed and falling upon good ground, and the people would receive that truth and grow in God and understand God and trust God more and more. But, you know, people want to critique God. And Christ was trying to teach through this parable that it's really not safe for us to critique his work because, or to indulge in disappointment because it doesn't meet our ideas of how it should be going, right? This shouldn't happen to me. My child shouldn't be an addict. And I end up blaming God and being disappointed in God. God knows what he's doing. And in the parable of the tares, Christ says the wheat and the tares, that's the good stuff and the bad stuff, grow together to the end of time when he will address those issues that do cause us great disappointments in our lives. And if we could trust him with them and stop trying to think about how we would control and leave it into God's hands, our religious experience, our growing in life is gained really through these conflicts. Because of the condition we're in and the limits of our minds to comprehend, it is through conflict and even through disappointment that we have this religious experience of self-revelation of who we are, our shortcomings, our true character, and it really exposes us to who we really are. Again, if we would only trust God. We have a story of a man who brings his son to Jesus. And he says, "Master, I have brought thee my son who is dumb in the spirit. And whatsoever he does, this spirit tears this son of mine apart." Jesus looked upon him and really was moved with compassion. They brought the boy to Jesus. Christ turned around and said, "You know, I will set this child free if you would only believe in me." If you and I could come to a place to believe that God is in control, then maybe we can let things happen a little more. We don't have to control the party. Remember in the living room, I want everybody to do what I think I want. I need everybody to like me, to be the center. I need my addict to do everything the way I want him to do and the way I want it to be done. All the expectations we put on ourselves. But Christ says, "No, I want to heal. I want to heal your addict. Bring your addict to me in prayer. Every night, pray that, God, you take control of my addict." Pay attention to the expectations you're putting on this relationship with your addict that really, I'm going to say, may have some great negative impacts on that addict and actually preventing them from being healed. Well, I just want to say, you know, in this spiritual segment that, again, the Bible is full of expectations and disappointments. And the answer is God. The answer is God, trusting him with the outcome of everything, from the minutest little your expectations at party to your expectations for your addict's life. Just come to the place to trust God that he's leading and working, constantly be in prayer, constantly hold your loved ones up before God. Trust that he can heal, just like he did this young boy that was tormented. His father brought him. You bring your child to God in prayer all the time. Surrender your will to God in heaven. Trust him with the outcome in your life. Thank you. That's the end of our spiritual section. All right. And so that was our spiritual section. And now let's get into the second half, the final part on disappointment then.
Yeah, because, you know, we talked about how not to expect things and some of our problems with expectations. But, you know, we're human. We're going to have disappointments.
Yeah, exactly.
So we want to go over disappointments a little bit.
Yep. So disappointment. To fail to fulfill the expectations or wishes of a person.
Yeah, there we go. So
there's your disappointment, right? Disappointment, defeat the fulfillment of our hopes, our plans, our expectations. They thwart, they frustrate. Disappointment, thwart, frustrate. Disappointment has come to denote a feeling of dissatisfaction. Disappointment is completely a subjective emotion. Subjective, meaning it differs from person to person in how they experience it. And people differ in the way they react to disappointment. Some will respond to it by becoming more motivated to do better next time. Others will just want to give up and quit.
So that's important to realize. Is we all have our own process of disappointment. I mean, I know you and I, we go through different emotions.
Yeah.
I hold on and have to process my disappointments a lot slower than some people do. All right, so let me just list a few of the common disappointments that we all experience. What about missed opportunities? Smoking, you know, you want to quit smoking and maybe you weren't able to. How about, you know, you find yourself being an enabler over and over again. You lost a friend. Oh, I went through that. It's very difficult. What about a dead-end job? Your kid or your spouse is on drugs. Your codependency. Your adult children are jobless. You feel like you haven't spent enough time with your kids. You're disappointed you didn't go to college. You have health issues. You know, you might think you drink a little bit too much. Death of a loved one. Pet loss. Can't control things. Those are just like a list of some of the common disappointments we go through. So what are some reasons for disappointments? So again, the actions have not produced the expected outcome. Life in recovery is more challenging than the individual anticipated. You know, did we really think that codependency was going to be easy to give up? Or progress in recovery appears to be kind of slow. We're thinking it's an event instead of a process.
Yeah, so you had expectations that it would be faster, and now you're disappointed.
Yeah.
These are just a whole bunch of reasons to be disappointed.
Exactly. Or you find yourself, I'm the codependent, and I'm yelling and reacting again instead of acting on my best interest.
Yeah. So these are all experiences then that talk about why we'd be disappointed. So look. You know, we talked about expectations. We got to do the same thing with disappointments. We got to identify the disappointment, process it, and generally to get past it. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, just like expectations, disappointment, I have to ask, why am I disappointed? Who am I disappointed with, or what am I disappointed with? What, if anything, can I do differently on the front end, expectations, to avoid something like this from happening again?
Yeah, I like sometimes when I'm talking to a person and they just had this big event or this big thing happening in their life, and I say, so how are you feeling about that? And they just kind of pause for a minute, and I realize that they've never even given it a thought as to how they are feeling about that.
Right, yeah.
And then when they really start to talk about it, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Because
they start to feel, you know, oh, well, I'm disappointed about this, or I feel sad about this, but they don't really think of it. So these things are good things to remember.
See, a lot of times we're always giving input to people. We're always telling people how to do things.
Yeah.
And what you're saying is you've been practicing asking questions.
Oh, absolutely.
How do you feel
about
that?
Absolutely.
What do you think's the answer? Where are you going with it? Like, practice that more with any problem you're having problem with friends. Just ask them questions. How are you doing? What are you doing? How do you feel about it? What's your solution? What do you think? Instead of always giving answers, what about asking questions? Now, we just talked about on the first half about expectations. Remember, evaluate your expectations. What are those expectations? Use criteria, measurables for expectations. And this is on the back end.
Yeah.
So something happened because I'm disappointed.
Right.
So why am I disappointed? Who am I disappointed at? What is there anything I could do differently? What did this experience come to teach me about myself?
Boy, that's good.
It's a learning time. So I was disappointed about something.
That's
What's that teach me about me? Well, I have high expectations or unrealistic expectations or something else it may teach you about you.
Mm-hmm.
What part of this mess is mine?
Wow.
And what part belongs to other parties or party in our disappointments? You see what I'm saying? Because, again, I might have had an unrealistic expectation. Or, remember, I did talk about earlier, I might have had a realistic expectation, but I missed some of the key criteria that was throwing a flag that this person was being unfaithful.
Yep.
So that person has to own their part. They were unfaithful.
Yes.
You have to own your part. You missed the flags.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly.
Are my expectations for myself and or others unrealistic? Have I adopted a strategy for healthy processing my way through the aftermath of disappointment so that disappointment is not allowed to turn into bitterness?
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, I'm disappointed at you and I become bitter. I become mad. I hold it against you forever.
That means
I've not in a healthy way processed through that disappointment.
You haven't processed through.
No.
Exactly.
But if you go back and do the steps we talked about here, you should be able to process through your expectations and disappointment and recover from that.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do I need to do to need to say to myself or other parties involved to release myself and move on from this experience? So I'm disappointed and I need to be able to maybe rephrase it differently. Maybe I just have to go up and say, Kath, I was disappointed you weren't able to come out the other night and go play.
Exactly.
So I gave it a voice. I gave it a word. I didn't have to be mean or nasty. You know, she could just turn and say, yeah, I'm sorry, but I did feel like I had to go out with my daughter or, you know, yeah, I just really wanted to read my book. And I need to be able to say, you know, yeah, I was disappointed. You know, I would have liked to see us get together, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You see, and somehow make amends for that and heal that.
So along with what the questions that Bill just talked about up top here, here's some things that we can do as we work through our disappointment. So number one, let it out. So first acknowledge and accept that you're feeling disappointed. You know, it's really important to accept it. You know, let yourself experience the feeling. We're often very afraid of our own feelings, but you have to let yourself feel it. It won't kill you. It's about how you feel in the situation, not about other people. Articulate your feelings without attacking others. Always be respectful. There's no one right way or wrong way to feel. Your feelings are valid. If you do not voice your opinions, then they will, you know, you're going to begin to harbor resentments and everything. Keep a gratitude journal. Can be highly effective. That is how I do, not necessarily a gratitude journal, but I journal a lot of my feelings.
Right.
Writing about my disappointments in a journal can be a good way to vent.
Right, exactly. But I like what you were saying a few seconds ago about give your time to feel your feelings. Because a lot of times, again, expectations, we expect our feelings to already go away.
Right.
You know,
and they're not going to process
it. Think about it. We're so uncomfortable with our feelings that we self-medicate. Oh, and so we're better than the addict. We don't do drugs. No, we self-medicate by eating a half a gallon of ice cream, eating a gigantic meal, sedating myself with a bloated stomach. So really, I don't want to feel my feelings. And the point is to sit with those feelings and feel what you said.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, we find it difficult to allow ourselves time. I mean, you think about it. Even in a grieving process where we lost the death of a loved one, we expect, on the average, we allow ourselves only 1 to 2 weeks off from work and then we go back to work. Even if that long, some people go back the next week after they just lost someone. So again, as humans, we do not allow ourselves time to process through our emotions. A child will fully feel their emotions. They'll scream, they'll rant and rave, they'll throw their tantrum, they laugh until it runs out, and they generally are ready to move on
because
they felt all their emotions. We're not doing that. Now, look, I'm not saying that we should lock ourselves away for weeks at a time whenever we're feeling disappointed, but I am saying let yourself feel disappointed. Get away from this this phrase, just get over it.
Yeah.
Remember, disappointments are telling us something about healthy or unhealthy expectations, and whether it was unhealthy that I had an unhealthy expectation, or whether or not it was healthy but somebody violated it. So, you know, none of this just get over it. Feel what you're feeling is okay. Take some time to sit with your emotions. Experience it. We don't do this much enough as humans.
Most of the time we're afraid of our feelings. But when you sit there and feel them and write them and journal them or talk to somebody about them, they kind of flow through you and then you feel better.
Yeah, if you acknowledge them, understand them.
Yep.
We don't practice
them.
That enough. So don't have high expectations that you're going to get this right off the bat. You got to learn how to experience and evaluate your feelings and what they're telling you and then adjust them with accordance to whether they're unhealthy expectations or unrealistic expectations or not.
So what about, let's get some perspective. Don't take it personal. It doesn't have to be about you, the disappointment that you had. Disappointments can seem really big at first. If you let yourself sit with it for a while, then you might realize, well, yeah, it's a big disappointment, but it's not as big as I thought it was in the beginning. Another technique is to breathe deeply. Go for a walk. Get some space and time between the disappointment to put it in proper perspective. Taking time to reflect and step away from a situation, it helps calm the nerves quite a bit. You know, having a broader perspective than your own view on a particular situation is always helpful. So maybe you want to ask somebody for their thoughts about that situation. Another really good one is to know your own heart. You know, disappointments are really big sometimes, and if we're not really in touch with our core value system, then the disappointment may help us to act a certain way that we really don't want to. So one of my core values is to be open-hearted. So when I'm disappointed, I have a choice. Am I going to react to this situation negatively, or am I going to respond in kindness and love towards the situation? Sometimes I might feel like closing down or withdrawing. So if I remember the core value of wanting to be open and kind, then I can make a choice. Do I choose to remain open-hearted, or do I choose to follow the easier instinct and close off? If I choose to be in line with my values over the automatic response, then a lot of times I'm happy about how I responded. Another thing is, don't doubt yourself. You know, you may wonder why these things keep happening to you, or you may begin to think that you were not being wise to get your hopes up in the first place. But disappointments are a part of life. We can be present and aware even in the midst of these negative emotions. And also use disappointments as an opportunity to learn.
Yeah, I agree, Kath, that disappointment is an opportunity to learn. And we need to practice acceptance. Acceptance to that it happened. Acceptance to the fact. Acceptance to my expectations. Acceptance that I had disappointment. You know, we're not always willing to accept what's going on, and then we get mad about that.
I know, life is so much easier if you just accept where you're at and what you're processing.
And we did a whole show on acceptance.
I think we did.
Yeah, go back and find our show on acceptance.
It was good, too.
Very good. I'm inclined to withdraw. I'm inclined to blame others. But see, I have to accept that I will feel these things anyway. I may feel blaming others. I may feel like being inclined to withdraw.
Right.
I can feel my feelings. Feelings are feelings. I have those feelings. It's how do I address those feelings,
right,
and how to heal them. And we gave you some tips on expectations and disappointments. I have to accept that I will continue to be disappointed, and that's a part of life.
Oh, that's true.
Because, you know, we have expectations for everything, and so we're always setting ourselves up for disappointments. Sometimes, again, our fault, unrealistic, and sometimes realistic, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Practice acceptance so that we could suffer less.
Yes.
Look for solutions and look for compromises so that, again, we have less disappointing moments. So look for a silver lining. That's all the things we just told you about. Look for a silver lining. Is it possible to find something positive in every situation?
Yes, there is.
Right. Reassess, make adjustments. You need to reexamine your priorities and how you set those expectations. So we gave you a bunch of ideas today. I think of this. See, transformation results in changes in thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. The actual process of transformation does not involve changing these things directly, because you're going to have expectations and disappointments, but instead require a change in our perspective. And that's what we're talking about,
great.
Our perspective in relationship to how we view these events.
Mm-hmm.
Altering one's core assumptions that we assume should happen about the nature of these things. So what do we assume about expectation? It all should go my way.
Right.
Or not.
Right.
See, so transformation does result, but not from changing these things necessarily. Disappointments are going to happen.
Yes.
Because we always have expectations. Our expectations sometimes may be too low. It may be too high.
Yes.
It may be spot on.
Right.
That's life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so transformation can take place, but, you know, you got to really look at how you are, assumptions that you're putting on them and how you're processing them.
Yep.
I hope you enjoyed tonight's show, and we look forward to talking to you next month. God willing, God bless. This is Bill and Kathy signing off. Have a great night.
Have a good night.